getting let out, taking us into the middle of the 5 o'clock hour. And we welcome you back to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Let's talk some Pac-12 and some other timely issues with our buddy from the Pac-12 Network, who you can follow along on Twitter. The handle's at Mike_Yam. And of course, like me, always repping Jersey in the 201. Mike, crazy wild times we live in, my friend. How are you holding up?
You know, isn't it crazy? I'd almost rather talk to you about shelter in place and COVID-19. I was thinking about that actually right before you called me, and I'm like, I can't believe that we are having these types of conversations. I actually was fortunate enough to talk to Byron Scott a little bit earlier today, and he was sharing some of his experiences from, you know, getting pulled over at an 18, 19-year-old age and for no reason other than having a nice car. And it's really sad what the country's facing right now and this division that is, I mean, what are we, 60 years removed from, you know, civil rights movement? And here it is. We're watching, you know, a young black man literally murdered on the street in broad daylight with witnesses. It's really hard to wrap my brain around what we're seeing.
Yeah, I've been telling people, yeah, be angry, be frustrated. And part of me is like, if the United States of America was my kid, I'd be like, I'm angry, but I'm also really disappointed in you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I want to.
That's a good way of describing it.
I want to start with something basic. I've asked a bunch of people this week, you know, it seems simple, but how sweet would it be tonight to just go home, kick back, flip on the tube, and be able to switch between like a baseball game or the NBA playoffs or the College World Series for just a sense of normalcy?
I know. Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, I think there's something to be said for having any sense of normalcy. You know what, though? I was thinking about something related to that, Steve, and I don't know if this is appropriate or if you agree, but there's a part of me that says, if we had NBA, Major League Baseball right now, would the protests get enough attention? And there's a part of me that says, not that I want to ram it down anyone's throat, but, you know, I think the worst thing that could happen is what we've seen in previous incidents, which is young African-American male, wrongly convicted, physically assaulted, killed, any sort of sense of racism, and I'm obviously using the George Floyd situation as the example, and then there's people, there's outrage, there's an outcry, there's a few protests, and then all of a sudden it dies off. How do we sustain some sort of level of, hey, we want and we need change? And there's a part of me that says, hey, if there's basketball and baseball to watch, maybe do we get away from that a little bit? I don't know the answer to it, but I just hope that these protests aren't in vain. The conversations that people are having, the tough conversations that people are having right now, continue even when we do get back to some sense of normalcy.
No, what you're describing is a perfect storm, which maybe we need right now.
Yeah.
You and I chatted a couple months ago, the article about your family, your background, your grandfather leaving Hong Kong and the sacrifices he made. And now as an Asian American, seeing and hearing some of the awful racist words and act connected to the virus. But so I guess first, before we get into the specifics of what you wrote, you know, explain to the folks not only your heritage, but the fact that you've lived in some incredible places because you've seen this country through a pretty diverse lens.
Yeah, I mean, every time you introduce me, you make reference to the 201 New Jersey area code, and that's where I grew up. That's home. You know, I was born in the Bronx. I went to Fordham, which is our main campus is in the Bronx. And, you know, I've been talking to some of my college roommates, and you know, my time there in New York, Northern New Jersey, Connecticut at ESPN, moving out to San Francisco. I've been on both coasts. And, you know, the conversations I have with my roommates, you know, my last 2 years, Steve, in college, it was me, and I'm half Chinese, half Italian. There was, you know, a black guy that I lived with, a Jewish kid that I lived with, a Puerto Rican kid that I lived with, an Irish kid, and a Portuguese kid. And there were six dudes all in one apartment for 2 years. We all lived together. And it's amazing to me because at that time, I would have loved to have said, hey, yeah, like we're all, you know, legitimately, we're all friends. You don't think about the things that the racism, you know, because we're all just friends,
right?
And we were naive I think I was naive to it until, you know, one of my friends, my black friend, who was my roommate, still my best friend to this day. I was his best man at his wedding. And, you know, he's walking home with another one of our African-American friends, and cops just draw guns on them and want to question them. And they're being asked, like, why are you questioning me? And, you know, the answer was, well, you fit the description of someone who just recently committed a crime. Let me just tell you this. My one roommate is 6'3", black. The other guy, 5'6", black. Hey, tell me, how do they both fit that same description? You know, like, it just, you hear stories like that, and my God, I graduated in 2003, here it is 2020, and we're still having these conversations. It's a hard pill to swallow, and I can't help but think how lucky I've been for so many different reasons, but Steve, like, I've never been concerned about my safety. Like, that's never been my safety because I'm half Chinese, and I look, you know, because of how I look. That just has not happened in my life. And now all of a sudden, because of COVID-19, there's like weird looks that I get, people kind of, you know, shooing me away. Like, those are things I hadn't experienced. Then I take a step back and I go, my God, like, my friends who are African-Americans have been dealing with this on a regular basis. And just the separation and the isolation that they must feel on a regular basis, it's heartbreaking to me. And, you know, all of this stuff just kind of compounded and sort of created something in my head where I felt like I just needed to put pen to paper or kind of type something on my computer and then post it.
No, it was great. The piece, basically your personal plea for empathy. And just one of the things I've been talking about, and you hear, hey, stick to sports, or LeBron was told, you know, a guy building schools, shut up and dribble. So my thought was, we know how fans drive the sports engine. For a show like this, they enhance it. They watch you on the network, they follow us on Twitter, and they make incredibly important and thoughtful contributions, and they don't work in sports, so they can comment outside their job, and we can't. Does that bother you that as much as me? Because I think that's just a short-sighted bad take.
No doubt. I couldn't agree with you more, and I think two things. One, if there's a problem, a social problem, people need to speak about it. And people with a platform, people without a platform. And to me, it's not just the injustices that are happening against African Americans. I would say minorities. I would say anyone who is, who is a homosexual, anyone who is a female, and the Me Too movement, all those things. Like, injustice is injustice. Wrong is wrong. Racism is racism. Sexism is sexism. All of those things compounded. Like, we have an opportunity to use a platform. And here's why people shouldn't stick to sports. Someone told me about this. I actually haven't had a moment to look it up, but Richard Sherman had said that because of COVID-19, he's wearing his mask. And as he wears his mask, you can't really tell it's Richard Sherman. And he says that he's felt different. Like, people are looking at him different, and they're treating him differently. And then the mask comes off, and it's like, oh, it's Richard Sherman. And I brought that up to Byron Scott, and he said, oh, yeah. No, you're okay. And like, that's just not right. And to me, anyone who's got the platform, and look, you might have some listeners right now to your show, Steve, and I appreciate you having me on, that watch Pac-12 Network, and they're like, dude, Mike, shut up. Like, we don't want to hear you. And look, I would understand that if you don't agree with what I'm saying. I think the bigger picture point is, I'm okay if you don't agree with me. I don't agree with the fact that you don't agree with me, but let's have a conversation about it. Let's try to find some empathy. Put yourself in this situation. Think about the desperation that someone might feel in a situation that they can't control. I can't control my ethnicity. I can't control the gender that I have, sexual orientation, all of those things. There's nothing wrong with just having a conversation. Just hear me out for a moment. Put yourself in my shoes. And to me, I don't think we do that nearly enough.
You know, along those lines, as we continue with Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network, I mean, what he wrote about a personal plea for empathy to those being targeted by the worst our society has to offer. And as you wrote, the bigots tend to get the microphone, or the megaphone, but you do remain encouraged because, fortunately, they are the minority, and you were kind of uplifted by most of the responses you got.
No doubt. I think that's like one of the really cool things about, you know, I have tweeted a couple things, you know, the use of the term China virus. I had some people hitting me up on Twitter because I had said, guys, like, this is not, it's not appropriate. It is creating hostility towards Asian Americans. You know, I was born in this country. I, you know, I went to Fordham in New York. I'm a sports fan. I watch Ozark and Netflix and, you know, listen to Jay-Z and Biggie. Like, we're all kind of the same thing. And, you know, I'm an American. I mean, that's how I identify myself. And to me, that unity is, needs to be in place. And I think, you know, when I tweeted that, I had some people saying, well, you know, other diseases have been called by location. And to me, it's like, that is short-sighted. It, just because it's happened in the past doesn't mean that we need to continue that. And I think the conversations around, hey, like, there's a group of people that are being attacked in because of some language, like, words hurt. And I think as we mature and evolve as a society, we need to understand some of those things. And I once again, I still really do deep down feel like the majority of people, man, the people listening to your show, Steve, they got a big heart. They want the best things for their friends and their families, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just think that that mentality needs to be applied to other people that are in this country that still want the same thing. Because the black parent who's worried about their kid that's leaving home to go out with their friends and have a good time on a Friday night is still worried about, you know, being pulled over or being targeted in the wrong way. Like, that parent still cares, just like the white parent yep. doesn't want that to happen to their kid. And to me, I still circle around that word empathy, and I take it a step further and say sustained empathy, because we can't just look at this as a situation that's going on right now, and 2 weeks from now, we forget about it. I just hope people empathize with other folks for an extended period of time, because I think, to me, that's step one in trying to change fundamental thinking that might not be the best for this country.
Yep. Well, hopefully we've had what you might refer to as a reckoning. You know, I saw a couple weeks back you spoke to Scotty Farrell, and the topic was, what will it take to get college football back and playing this season? And obviously we're focused on the Pac-12. So you mentioned things, be it the cost of testing, state-by-state health regulations, allowing students on campus versus athletes. So in those couple weeks, have you gained any more confidence that we'll see a college football season, albeit most likely without fans?
I'm with you. I think it still happens. Every day, and more information that pops out and the closer we get to it, the more confident I feel like it's going to happen. You know, it feels like just a couple weeks ago, and I guess months at this point, when Kirk Herbstreit said he didn't think there was going to be a college football season. And in that moment, there was some real reasons to think that he was right about that. And here we are. We're talking about voluntary workouts. We're talking about testing, getting these kids back onto campuses to get ready for the start of the season. You know, the cost of the test, actually, I talked to one person at a school in our league, and they said that the cost of testing was about $350. I talked to Dr. Stephanie Chu from Colorado, who's a physician there and is on the NCAA advisory board. She told me $100. I think the difference in the price on the testing is the testing that Dr. Chu was telling me about was the nasal swab, which takes 24 hours to get the results. The person that I talked to on one of our campuses said, no, our school and our team, we want to do the 15-minute response test. The problem with that one is 80% accurate. So now we're talking about a quicker turnaround in the testing, which I like, at a higher cost, but it is, and maybe not as accurate. So I think there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered, but I think there is a lot of reasons why we'd have the season, and to me, those questions we'll get some answers to pretty quickly.
A couple final thoughts from Mike Yam. Yeah. We all drank in The Last Dance. I mean, when it comes to the NBA, you've worked for NBA TV, you covered the Knicks, heaven help us both. So fill me in on your timeline. I mean, that dynasty was 91. Against the Lakers, through 98 against the Jazz. I was trying to do the math. I would imagine that took you from maybe elementary school through Fordham. As a fellow Knicks fan, what are your memories?
Oh, God. Just seeing that, you know, it's interesting, the dunk that Jordan had with Ewing. I mean, they flashed out a bunch of times. I mean, the pain I had in those moments. Starks in The Last Dance. You're right. I mean, I was, look, I'm 38, so I was born in 81. So early 90s, obviously, I was still pretty young and glued to the television. I was always a huge basketball fan. And, you know, the old adage is whoever the best player was when you were 12, they'll never be surpassed. So it's a generation now that's talked about Kobe being the greatest and the best guard of all time. Like, to me, no one will ever pass Michael Jordan because that was what I grew up with. And right. As a Knicks fan, it was painful to see, but my Lord, glued to the television, awesome job. I know people have been critical of the documentary and Jordan having as much say. Like, to me, it's like, dude, like, at this point, who really cares? We got 10 weeks of just unbelievable memories and a watch back, and some of them are painful for you and me, Steve, as Knicks fans, but I thought it was awesome, and I loved every second of it. And to me, it gave you an insider's take and a look at what was really happening behind the scenes. And Jordan, like, I think for a younger audience now, Steve, like, all these LeBron, they're on social media, all these athletes there, you get behind the curtain because of social media. That didn't exist. You know, Facebook didn't even exist when I was in college, like in the 90s. That right. We didn't know about Jordan. So he's always been this private guy, so to see him in his element around the team, that was eye-opening for me. I was going to the television. I still think the guy is cool. Like, it just, there's a coolness factor around MJ.
No, I was riveted. Of course, a couple times I was curled up in a ball crying in the corner, but that's a story for another day. One last thing. You know, now that we may have a target date to return some safely to campus, so whether it's you or Yogi or Ashley, all of our buddies at the Pac-12 Network, I mean, what are you guys up to, be it on the Tube or your podcasts? I mean, where can we find what you guys are up to, you know, in these coming weeks before we actually get games?
Yeah, it's a great question, because we've been doing Pac-12 Playlist on the network twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, and then our podcast Monday through Friday. So I made reference to the Byron Scott conversation. That's going to be tomorrow morning on the podcast. It's called it's called Pac-12 Perspective, and that conversation with Byron, man, it was awesome just to have the ability to hear his stories, understand and get some real context around what's happening in our society. He was great. And by the way, a guy that left ASU after 3 years, the reason why we were having him on and we booked him a while ago is because he just graduated. He went back to school. And to me, even that education, you know, the gap in education for the people who are fortunate enough to have a really good education and the ones who don't, I think that also plays into the conversation pretty significantly. And I know it was hard for him to go back to school at age 58, but he did it and he finished, and it's an awesome story.
No, that was great. I remember talking with Kyle Dodd about that. And yeah. I'll tell you what, for aesthetics, nobody had a more gorgeous jumper than Byron Scott.
Oh, yeah. Think about his career, too. Just, you know, by the way, I asked him who's the better point guard, Jason Kidd or Magic Johnson. So he did give me an answer. Like, he gave me a legit answer on that, which was awesome to hear.
Well, obviously, Kidd took him to the finals as a coach. Magic won him a couple finals as
that's
his
a good point
guard.
Too.
That's awesome. Folks, he's Mike Yam. He's the best on Twitter at Mike_Yam. Mike, terrific pieces that you've written, you know, giving us the personal, heartfelt angle. I loved it. I'm encouraging people to check it out, and I appreciate you taking some time to come on and talk with us about it.
Steve, anytime for you, man. Really appreciate you being willing to have these conversations with me. And like I said, best of luck over the next couple of weeks to get some more sports here, and always happy to join you.
All right. Be well, my friend. We'll talk soon.
You too.